You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Good morning. My name is Ben. It is always a joy to stand before you and open up the word of God. And something very special about Easter, because Easter is a wonderful time where, you know, we gather here to remind ourselves that the God that we follow is not a dead God, but a risen God. And if Jesus was never raised from the grave, I'll tell you right now, every one of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, we've wasted our time. We've wasted our time. That our faith is just useless. We're still dead in our sins. But as I look around and I see so many people here this morning, I believe that the majority of you, you are doing your best to follow Jesus. You are following Jesus, and you know that Jesus loves you, and you know that the God that you are following, He is not down here somewhere, but He is alive. He is risen, and that's the reason why you are following Him. Because if He's not alive, don't follow Him. If He's not alive, don't waste your time. But because He is alive, and we know He is alive, that's the reason why this time of the year, you will hear those phrases around the radio station or the news or social media. You will hear those phrases, Jesus is risen. You will hear those phrases, He is alive, or the tomb is empty. And the reason why we hear those phrases is not because someone made them up, but because it's recorded in the gospel. And the gospel, my friends, the gospel is not some kind of like fairy tale, mystical writing, but the gospel, it is actually historical documents. They are biographies of the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus. They are actually historical documents, and that's the reason why there are so many people around the world on this given day celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And so what I want to do is I want to just go back to what was read at the very beginning of the service in Luke 24, the resurrection account. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke 24, verses 1 to 3. All the passages on the screen behind me. The word of God says this: on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. The stone was what was there to keep people from coming in to steal the body or steal his possession. Because in those days, if someone was buried, they've got some really nice linen cloth on. We can steal that and sell that for money. So the stone was there rolled to stop people from entering. But the word of God says that the stone was rolled away. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. You see, Luke, the author, he said that the stone was rolled away, the ladies entered, and it was empty, no Jesus to be found. I mean, these ladies here, they were expecting to find the dead body of Jesus. That was their expectation. Why? They were bringing spices along. Why? To anoint the body. And this anointing of spices was really to control the smell of decomposition. And that's what they wanted to do. And that's what they thought they would do. But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. They entered the tomb. It was empty. And there was no Jesus. And then some angels, this is what they said in verses 5 to 7. Why do you look for the living among the dead? In other words, why are you looking for someone who's alive? He is not here. He has risen. Don't you remember how he, that's Jesus, told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners. He must be crucified, which means he has to die. And on the third day, be raised again. The angel says, can't you remember what he said? That he's going to die. But in 3 days, oh, he's going to be alive. That's the reason why the tomb is empty. That's the reason why you're looking for him and he's not there. He has risen. Well, look what happens next. I'll take you to Mark's version in Mark 16:7. The angel says, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. It's interesting. You notice how the angel said to the ladies, go tell the disciples, the followers, the 11 and the others, and specifically who? Peter. And there's a reason why Peter is recorded there, because I believe that out of all the disciples, I believe Peter was the one who felt most empty. Because you remember 3 days prior to this moment, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Remember? And that was the Peter who said to Jesus, Jesus, I will stand with you. Jesus, they will all fall away, but I shall not. The same Peter says that I will never disown you. All these bold promises. But the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. Is that right? He's now what? He's now ashamed. He's ran away. He's in hiding. He's a broken man. Out of all the disciples, this Peter would have been most empty. Well, look what happens next. Luke 24:9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these to the 11 and all the others. Verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. But look in verse 12, Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. I want to pause there for 1 second. You know, in those 3 days when Jesus was dead in the tomb, I'm thinking of Peter. Peter would have struggled. He would have felt so low, so empty, so disappointed in himself, saying, I've messed up. There's no hope. There's nothing for me. But when he heard the news that this tomb is empty, when he heard the news that this Jesus is there, he remembered what his master said to him 3 days prior, that I will die and I will come back to life. And I believe with all my heart that this Peter, when he heard those words that the tomb is empty, Jesus is not there, the disappointment, the hollowness, the emptiness was now replaced with joy, replaced with excitement, replaced with hope, because his master is not dead but alive. In John's version, we read that Peter and John are running towards the tomb. John gets there and John doesn't go inside, but Peter rushes inside. This is a Peter who realized that my hope is now reinstated, that there is now a living hope, that this Jesus is alive, that I cannot worry about what took place in the past. I can start all over again. That's the reason why Easter is a great day, because there are some of you, you're like a Peter, where you go, there's no hope for me, that I'm still in my sin, I'm still dead, but there is hope because he is alive. He wants you to know that in him there is still joy. In him there is a new chapter. In him you can start all over again. Because he loves you. Because the tomb is empty. He loves you. He forgives you. And he wants a relationship with you. And he wants you to know in him there is a new living hope. Just like Peter here. You know, when I was writing this message, I kept remembering of young Chloe, the 4-year-old that you may know, who was abducted when she was out camping with her family up north of Perth. You may know that because the whole state of WA, we were on the edge of our seats, the whole world waiting. Will we ever find this little daughter, this girl. And I remember during those weeks, I would think about the parents and I would picture myself and put myself in the shoes of the parents thinking, how would I keep it together if that was one of my children, if that was my daughter? I'm picturing the pain, you know, of the parents looking into the bedroom and realize there's no one playing on the bedroom floor. I'm just picturing, you know, the parents looking at the bed and no one sleeping on it. Or the booster seat and no one sitting on it. Or the school bag and no one carrying it. 18 excruciating days just wondering, where is Chloe? Where is our precious four-year-old? And I can imagine the hope of the parents slowly diminishing as the days went forward. And do you remember what happened on the 3rd of November, 2021? Do you remember what happened when you woke up and news broke that they found Chloe? Do you remember where you were? I know where I was. Do you remember when you flicked on the news or you read on social media or you heard that someone told you that Chloe was found not dead but alive? There was joy. There was hope. And I was told that the police came knocking at the parents' door in the early hours of the morning saying, we found your daughter not dead but alive. We've taken her to the local hospital for a checkup. She is fine. We want you to get into the car and we want you to see your daughter. Do you think Chloe's mother would be like, are you sure? Do you think Chloe's mother was like, would you just give me a bit of time? I need to wash myself. I need to put on some makeup, find the right outfit. Maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, I'll be ready and then we'll go. Do you think that was Chloe's mother's reaction? I don't think so. I think she dropped everything, hopped into the car and headed straight to hospital in joy, anticipation, peace, and a new hope. Thinking, how will I live the rest of my days differently? How would I treat my daughter differently? How will I relate with her differently? How will we spend time together differently? As she was in the car heading towards hospital. I believe Peter ran to the tomb with excitement, with joy, with anticipation, with a new hope, thinking, how will I live differently? You know, you read through church history, Peter becomes a great and amazing church leader. Peter becomes a great pastor, and he writes two beautiful letters to the early Christians, and we find those two letters in our Bible. And look what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, Verses 3, he says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again in a living hope. Through what? The resurrection of Jesus. He says, because of the resurrection, we have a new living hope. And he, I believe, he was remembering the day when he heard the good news that his master, his Lord, is not dead, but alive. He is risen. The tomb is empty, and the despair, the pain, the suffering, the accusation was disappeared, replaced with a new living hope. And he says, because of the resurrection, the tomb is empty. We have a new living hope. There is a new living hope. And friends, I said at the very beginning, if Jesus never rose, we don't have that hope. If Jesus is still dead, we don't have that hope. But because we know that he's alive, that is our living hope. And we ought to live differently. There's a new confidence in him. There's a new joy in him. Because we know the resurrection is our new hope. And God does not fail. And the word of God is the proof that his son is alive and his resurrection is our hope. Let me ask you this question, serious question here. Has anyone ever been on a blind date? Don't have to put up your hands. I don't want to know. Now, part two to the question. Has anyone been on a blind date where the date never showed up? Don't put up your hand. I don't want you to put up your hand that one as well. Now imagine this happening on several occasions. You're excited. You go and you're waiting and they don't show up. And it happened several times. I would imagine the joy and the hope of meeting this person would disappear and be replaced with disappointment. Amen. I would imagine if that person asked you to go on another date and you say, no, I don't blame you. In fact, if I was your friend, I would say, get rid of that person. Don't go. Don't waste your time. Don't trust that person. You know, trust and hope, they go together. We can trust that our Lord is alive. We can have hope in Him today. He died. 3 days later, He rose. Jesus is alive, my friend. We know He's alive because it's recorded in the Word of God. We know He's alive because over 2.2 billion Christians this weekend will celebrate His resurrection. We know He's alive because if you look around here, lots of you, many of you are living in that new hope. We know He's alive because His Spirit lives in us. You know, later on, we get to baptize 6 beautiful people. You know, Christianity is not about having your life all together because you will never have your life together. If someone tells you they're a Christian and they've got their life all together, they're a liar. They are a liar because no one here will have their life all together. We'll still be a mess. We'll still be struggling. But we do have something, living hope. We have hope knowing that God loves us regardless of our mistakes. We have hope knowing that God has already forgiven us all our past, our present, and our future sin. We know that. We have hope knowing that whatever happens in this life, all things will work good for those who love Him. We know that it's always about His glory. We have hope knowing that we get to enjoy Him forevermore. Not only today, but forevermore. And He offers that hope to every one of us here this morning here. The hope is real. Why? He's alive. The resurrection can be trusted. Why? Because it's in the Bible. It's in the people here. It's many Christians around the world. And that hope is offered to every one of us here this morning. And I want to offer that to you this morning. But before I do, let me tell you a story that I love sharing over Easter. This is a story of a little boy by the name of Philip. He was born with Down syndrome, and he was only 8 years old, and he was part of kids' church Sunday school with all the other 8-year-old boys and girls. And typically, 8-year-olds at that age don't fully understand Down syndrome. So they found it difficult to really embrace little Philip. But their Sunday school teacher was very creative and began to care for Philip and began to help all the other children understand that he's slightly different but still part of the church family. Anyhow, the Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought them these hollow eggs, like the picture here. They were plastic eggs and they were hollow. And the Sunday school teacher said, all the kids, you can grab one and you can go outside and you can find anything around the church building, anything you like, but that thing you must put inside the egg and it must represent hope, a new life. Whatever you want. Just put it in, and then you bring it to the classroom. I'm going to put it on the table, and one at a time, we'll open it up, and we'll let everyone see what you have discovered that represents the hope in new life. So anyhow, all the kids picked their flowers, and someone managed to catch a butterfly, which was a bit cruel, a leaf. And as they open it up, you hear this, ooh, wow, hope, new life. And there was one egg. They opened and it was empty. And the children complained, That's silly. It's not fair. Someone didn't do their task properly. Someone was lazy. And Philip spoke up and says, "It's mine. It's mine." And the kids complain, "Philip, you never do things right. There's nothing inside. You're lazy." And Philip says, I did do it so right. I did do it so right. It's empty. The tomb is empty." And silence. And then the kids, from that point onwards, fully embraced Philip and loved him. Not long after that, an infection came upon Philip, and little Philip passed away. An infection that most kids would shrug off. And at the funeral, these 8-year-old students marched up to the altar. Instead of with bringing flowers to lay on the altar, with their Sunday school teacher, they all laid a little empty plastic egg, representing that there is hope. There is a living hope for those who place their trust in Jesus. The tomb is empty. He's alive. There is hope. For anyone here this morning who feels hopeless, I want you to know there is hope. And I want you to know that on this day, you can start all over again. That this is a church here where there's no one perfect here. Trust me. I am not perfect. I'm far from perfect. And I've said it before. I've said it before, and I mean this with all my heart, that if you know half as much as what God knows of me, you would never want to follow me as your pastor. But I'm so grateful that He forgives me and He embraces me and He loves me and He says, "Bin, it's okay. Work on that. Work on that." And I want you to know that maybe for some of you here, you are here this morning saying, "Can I start over again?" Of course you can. "Would He forgive my sin?" Of course He will. You know, the people getting baptized up here later on, as I began to hear about their stories and know them, I was reading their testimonies, I was in tears because I could see the work of God in giving them new hope. There's new hope. And for some of us, you may not even know Jesus and you say, "I want Jesus today. Can I have Him?" Yes, you can. He loves you. And He offers that invitation to you. And so what I want to do now is that I want to ask those questions. If there's anyone here who would want Jesus. So all eyes closed. To respect each other, I'm going to do what I did on Good Friday. I'm going to ask you this question. If there's anyone here this morning where you have been so far from Jesus and you really want to start over again, a new chapter, a fresh chapter, and say on this day, the 9th of April, 2023, I give my life to Jesus. I want Jesus into my life. And I need Him because without Him, I'm lost. And friends, you will be found in Him. So I ask this question here. Is there anyone here this morning that you do not know Jesus? You have not welcomed Jesus into your life. And you want Jesus. And you say, "Pastor, yeah, I want Jesus. I don't know Him that well, but I want Him. I want to start a life with Him." If that's you, because I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to get you to come up here or do anything. No, I want to honor you. I want to pray for you, but I want to know who I'm praying for. If that is you this morning and you say, "Well, Pastor, yeah, I want Jesus." Can you raise your hands? Yes. One. Anyone else? Two. Anyone else who says, "I want Jesus. I might not fully understand Him, but I sense His love this morning. I sense that He's here. I want Him. I need Him because right now I feel my life is a bit hopeless. I feel a bit lost." I promise you, His Spirit will be in you and His Spirit will give you new hope. Anyone else? Yes, three, four, who else? Because Jesus loves you. Trust me. He's not waiting for you to get yourself in order. You never will. He welcomes you. He loves you the way you are. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to care for you. He wants to show you the goodness that life has with Him. Anyone else? Don't miss this opportunity. And say, hey, Pastor, I need Him. I want Him. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to ask another question here. Maybe you did love Jesus. Maybe you were following Jesus years ago. But you just feel a bit like Peter. Disconnected, lonely, empty, disappointing yourself and going, why am I even doing this? And you want to start over again. You want to go, Pastor, I want a new start. God offers that this morning. If that is you, you raise your hand because I want to pray for you and believe in the supernatural that God will do a work in your heart and you will start over again this morning. If that is you, you raise your hands. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Who else? Who else says, yes, Pastor, I need prayer. Thank you. Who else? I need prayer. I need to start over again. I need to start loving Jesus. I want to be intimate with Him. I want to have a good relationship with Him. Who else? Because you're here not by chance, not a coincidence. He loves you. Who else? Don't miss that opportunity, friends. God is here. God is here. Let me pray for you. For all those who've raised your hands, let me pray for you. And I want you to receive this prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for those people who raised their hands to say that, yes, I want Jesus. Yes, I need Jesus. I am lost without Jesus. Father God, I pray for those people. Lord, would you bless them? Would you remind them that their sins have been forgiven? Holy Spirit, I pray now that you would just saturate them. You would just consume them. That you will fill them, God, right now. Lord, would there be a sense of peace, sense of joy in their hearts right now? A new hope, a living hope. God, journey with them. God, be so close to them. God, may your Spirit overflow in them. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive. You've risen. The tomb is empty. And that's our living hope. So I pray for my brothers and sisters who've raised their hands. I pray, God, that you'll help them take the next step to keep following you, to keep following your ways, to live for your glory, just like Peter, who when he heard the news that the tomb is empty, he ran towards you with joy, with excitement, with anticipation, with a new living hope, and he lived his days differently. So I pray that all my brothers and sisters who raise their hands will live the rest of their days differently. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 You know, this is one of the highlights of being a pastor is not just to see people receive the Lord, but to see people who have made the decision to follow Jesus. I want to get this removed in your mind. Yep. You know, just to really, be baptized. So we're going to invite our little children to come in. And so they're going to come in as well and they'll sit at the front end. And it's going to be a great time. But as they come in, let me just say a few things before we start our baptism segment, which is a highlight for me as a minister. You know, at Sunlife Church here, you know, if you hear me long enough, you know by now that I'm not a pastor that focuses on what takes place at the gathering. I love the gathering. I love to teach and preach. I love that that's my joy. That's my gifting. But what I really love is when I hear stories of transformation, when I hear stories of people saying, hey, Pastor, there was this temptation, but I resisted because I had brothers and sisters praying for me. I'm like, yeah. Or, Pastor, I messed up and then I got someone praying for me and I felt so loved and forgiven by the grace of God. Whew, I love those stories. Or someone says, Pastor, I came here because right now, you know, there's 300-400 people here. It's a big congregation where we can get lost in the crowd, right? And when people go, oh, I found our community. I found a group of, say, 10 people who's loving me, who's caring for me, who's keeping me on top of my, you know, struggles. I love that. And so I say this all the time. If you have been coming to Sun Life Church and you really want to grow in the Lord, it happens here on a Sunday, but it really happens in our small groups. There's small groups for kids. They're all coming in now. There's small groups for youth. There's small groups for young adults. There's small groups for adults. And if you're not in a small group, if you're not in a small group, I hate to say this, you will get lost in the crowd and you will be disappointed with me because I cannot be there for you all the time. But when you're in a community, oh, trust me. Oh, we might have to move the kids over a little bit because there's a lot and that's not. And if you're in a small group, yeah, you will be cared for. And it's good to see the little ones. Hello, kiddies. Good to see you guys all. And for those right at the front, if you get wet by the water, bad luck. But it's fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to squeeze them all in. I don't know. Oh, dear. Oh, I've got to squeeze them all in. Oh, I'm so sorry. Maybe, I don't know. You know, if you look at your community, this is your community here at Sun Life Church. Hey, Kelvin, take a photo of all the kids. That'd be great if you can. I don't know how. But don't post it on social media because we've already maxed out the building capacity. Yeah, what a joy, what a joy. This morning, we celebrate the public declaration of six beautiful people. Six beautiful people who are proud. They are proud to say that they are following Jesus. They are not saying that they got it all together. No. They're saying that they have already made the decision to follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he says this in Galatians 3. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jews or Greeks. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male and female. For you are one in Christ Jesus. I'm a bit emotional because, you know, later on, you're going to see people on this stage here where they're a different season of life, different ages. And there's also Harden. You know, Harden doesn't understand a word here. He doesn't. And there's Patricia who can speak his language. And Patricia is interpreting for him. And Paul says there's no Jews, there's no Gentiles, there's no masters, there's no slave. Because we're one in Christ. And I want you to know in this church here, I don't care where you come from, I don't care what background, I don't care how rich you are or how poor you are. In this church here, you're one in Christ. You're accepted here. You're accepted here. So baptism is a seal. It is a sign that Jesus loves you, that Jesus forgives you. You're in His family. His Spirit lives in you. And because of the resurrection, you have a new living hope. It is a promise made visible in the water baptism. And these people are saying, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. Jesus, I have newness of life because of you. Jesus, my future is in your hands. It is a public declaration of a love for Jesus, an external display of an internal work of God's grace in saving them. So this morning, when we baptize them, we are celebrating with them, church. When they go in the water and when they come out, you celebrate. You clap. We'll be singing. And I don't care whether it's the verse or the chorus or the pre-verse. When they get up, you clap, you shout, you don't sing, because it's a celebration. Amen. Stephanie, come up here. Stephanie's from Peru. From Peru. She writes this. 5 years ago, I accepted Jesus, but I was constantly struggling to follow Jesus. I walked away from God for more than 1 year. I walked away. But thanks God, I came back to Him last March. That's how I came to find Sun Life Church. This time, I am committed. I want to live my entire life for Him, for my Father, for the one who sent His lovely Son to die on the cross for a sinner like me. This is Stephanie. You give her a round of applause, Sun Life Church. Fook. This is Fook. You know, I was reading your testimony and I really believe that God's got a purpose for you. I don't know what that is, mate, but God's got a purpose for you. And I'm excited and I want to keep watch over you. He says this, I came to accept Jesus as my personal Savior recently when I realized my actions were not a reflection of what I knew to be good and I needed Jesus to change me. I want to be baptized now because at this point in my life, I do not want to live a life of sin anymore. I want to live a life imitating Christ. This is Fook. Give him a round of applause. Give him a round of applause. Janine, my sister that I met during the week. Good to have you. Janine says, I grew up learning and knowing about Jesus Christ as a child and I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior some years ago. I have felt that my faith and following Him in the last few years has grown and that it's time for me to take the step of being baptized as a statement of my faith, my commitment to my Lord Jesus Christ. For me, Jesus is my peace, my strength, and provider, and I believe through Him I can do all things. Give Janine a round of applause. Harden. And Pat, you can just stand up here behind him as well. I wish at this moment I could speak his language, but I can't. But Hardin wrote this, and Patricia helped translate it. Hardin says, I know God has always guided me in the right direction and helped me out when I was in trouble. I feel that God has been so good to me that I want to follow God more and more each day. I know God wants me to be baptized, and I want to do this so people know that I love God. So today, Jesus means the world to me, and everything I have, I surrender it all to Jesus. This is Harden. Give him a round of applause. Caitlin. Caitlin's from youth. Caitlin writes this. I came to know God because of my parents teaching me from a young age about Him and showing me what God wants us to do and how to behave. I came to know Jesus personally when I first came to youth group. And though I already knew Jesus and what He did, that was when it kind of all clicked and I rediscovered Jesus for the first time. Today, Jesus is my strength and my refuge, and no one, and one who is always with me, always encourages me and always loves me despite my faults, my imperfection, my sinful nature. He never leaves me nor forsake me. I want to be baptized because I love Jesus, and I want to publicly declare it because He didn't die for us in public to live a life in private. This is Caitlin. Give a round of applause. And Cameron, this is my son. My mini me. Kevin says, I never knew God and Jesus until a few years ago when one night I heard my dad going over his sermon the night before Sunday. As I listened, I felt a warm feeling in my body and I was reminded how much Jesus loves me and what Jesus has done for me on the cross. This helped me to understand what my parents have taught me about God over the years. And I started loving going to church, learning more about God by attending Sun Life Kids. I'm getting baptized because I love Jesus so much and I want to express my appreciation and my love to Jesus. This is Cameron. So, I want to ask you a series of questions, four questions. And you reply by saying, we do. And Pat, you can translate for Hayden. Here's question number one. Do you believe in God the Father? We do. Loud voice. Number two. Do you believe that your sin has separated you from God? Do you believe that God loved you so much, He sent His Son to die for your sins? And lastly, do you believe God lives in you through His Holy Spirit? What I want to do now is I want to present you with your certificate, and then I would like to pray for you, and then we'll make our way to the back. We will sing, we will worship, we will celebrate, and we'll baptize you. And church, when we celebrate and we rejoice, we do it wholeheartedly because this is a sign, a picture of someone who was once dead but now made alive in Jesus. Pray for them. Let's close our eyes, extend our hand, a sign of just really trusting God to do the work. Father God, I thank you so much for these beautiful people here on this day. They declare that they have made the decision to follow Jesus and they want the world to know. They want their family and friends here at Sun Life Church and beyond to know that they are following Jesus. They are not perfect. They'll never be perfect, but they are following a perfect God, a God who loves them, a God who's constantly forgiving them, giving them grace to do all the things according to the Father's will. So I pray for Cameron. I pray for Caitlin. I pray for Harden. I pray for Janine. I pray for Fook. I pray for Stephanie right now. Holy Spirit, will you continue to fill them, empower them, Lord. May they never forget this day, the day where they boldly, publicly proclaim that they are following Jesus. The old gone, the new is here. Oh Lord, more of your Spirit, less of their flesh. Bless them, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. All right. You guys go towards the back. Everyone, let's be upstanding and we're going to worship. And as we worship, we're going to baptize them one at a time. And you cheer them on. You celebrate with them. Amen. Over to you, Jordan.
Well, let's worship.